Good morning. I told you the last time I was in this pulpit that I think I said it this way: Ich bin ein Mennonite. I'm a United Methodist minister for 50 plus years now. However, I served the Mennonite Church at Carlisle, as Tim mentioned, for 10 years. And then Roberta and I sealed our relationship with the Mennonite Church because we, for more than a year now, have been residents at the Mennonite residential community and have making a wonderful new friends. And we are so happy to be with you. Your pastor, Tim, called me about 10 days ago and asked me if I would preach this morning. And then he called me on maybe Wednesday or Thursday of this week and wanted me to go fishing with him on Friday afternoon. I was not able to go. However, he told me this morning that he caught 70 fish. And because of some of the issues going on in our country right now, serious matters, I thought maybe I should change my sermon to veracity and truth-telling. But I'm not prepared to do that this morning, so I'll stay with the assigned text and topic. Let us have a moment of prayer. O Lord, may these words come from my heart. O Lord, may these words go to the heart. Amen. I was on the track team at Peoria Woodruff High School all 4 years that I was there. And I ran all 4 years without ever getting a letter. That tells you something about my athletic prowess. My event was the 880, or the half mile. It's in metric now. Bill Gillingham, my very good friend, we had grown up together, also ran the half mile. And in his junior and senior years, every time Bill ran, he broke the state record. So that after a while, every time he ran, he was always breaking his own record. When the results were published in the paper, they were pretty predictable. Bill's name was always in first place, and the headline would say, Gillingham does it again. And then they would list the people who came in second, third, fourth, fifth. I would not find my name there. But I knew that my name was coming because there was a rather generic phrase that followed that, also participating. And that's where I would be. I never lettered, but I didn't quit. Also participating in track is a good memory. I like the associations and the friendships. I didn't realize it so much then, but it was good for my health. And a good life experience for the experiences to come, teaching that whatever the endeavor is, you don't always have to be on top. There's an honorable place for also participating. Being a participant can be a wonderful way of learning life's most important lessons. Now, you need to know where the preacher is going with this beginning in the sermon about prayer. At the risk of being trivial about sublime things, think of Christians and others that pray, for prayer is an important part of all the great religious traditions. Think of us as a little like members on a track team, from first place, second, third, fourth, fifth, to also participating. Some of us, probably they don't even realize that they are in this category, are like those that finish in the first five. Others of us pray and, at best, honestly participate, honorably participate. Some just beginning, some lagging behind, some making new discoveries, many harboring thoughts, often unspoken, that I'm not doing very well at this matter of praying. All of us will do well to remember that the basic rule of prayer is that there is no rule for prayer. Our text, as you have heard it in another language, I assume you were seeing it up here in English, our text is St. Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer, with some accompanying teaching. The disciples say to Jesus, "Teach us to pray." And wherever we are in the scale of praying, this is always a fresh new request that we need to make every day. Teach us to pray. It is a question, it is a request that we never outlive. There's a simple little saying regarding organizations or causes, and that is that the main thing is that the main thing is the main thing. And that's what the Lord's Prayer is saying. The main thing, first, before everything else, is our Father who art in heaven. Not a country, not a race, not a political party, not money or power, not all those things that so easily for us become the main thing that shapes and determines everything else. And from this main thing come all the important things. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. And a little transliteration here, keep us safe from evil and keep us safe from ourselves. Jesus follows his model prayer in Luke's gospel with a parable, a rather unusual parable about persistence in praying. And I want to put in a little background here for this unusual parable story about the average Jewish family in the first century. They would have lived in a one-room house. All the family and the poultry and the livestock slept together at night. Now couple this with the reality that hospitality was considered a sacred virtue. A visitor had shown up unannounced at such a family dwelling at midnight. Hospitality required that this visitor would be served food and drink. The host, discovering that the cupboard was bare, went to his neighbor's house and knocked at the door of the sleeping family, probably waking up the children and the livestock. From the inside, the angry neighbor says, "Go away," several times, "Go away." But the man keeps knocking until the neighbor finally opens the door and gives him some bread. Now, the parables always need interpretation, and on the surface, it would seem to me, seems like as you read this parable, that God is like an angry person that you must somehow placate. Much to the contrary. It is a story that teaches by contrast. If the unwilling neighbor in this story can be coerced to offer help by his neighbor's importunity, how much more will God supply his children's most basic needs? And then the story is followed by this great line, "Ask and it will be given to you." We sang it a few minutes ago. "Ask, it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who searches finds, and everyone who seeks will find." And with persistence, in some way, a door will be opened, although it may not have been the door we expected. Now, applying this to the practice of prayer, keep at it. That's what it's saying to me, is keep at it, grow. Leave behind childish and outmoded ideas. Try new things. Revise your thinking about God. Revise your thinking about being a faithful person. Albert Einstein reportedly said that insanity is always doing the same thing in the same way. Following this line of thinking, praying in the same way all the time can become pretty flat, like putting new wine in old wineskins. Revise, add, subtract, find a quiet place, light a candle, use the sign of the cross. I know that's un-Mennonite, it's probably un-Methodist too, but Mennonites and Methodists are people who do the sign of the cross not in front of other Methodists and Mennonites. Memorize some one-line prayers, maybe just a word, a phrase, peace, strength, forgive. Always, thank you, thank you, thank you. Help me, help me, help me. Use a printed prayer. Learn quietness. Just as each of us has a fingerprint that is unlike any other person in all of the world, each of us has our own God print within. I love a line from the book of Proverbs. The human spirit is the candle of the Lord, illumining all our innermost parts. Some people give up on praying or are praying very seriously, but they think of contacting God who is just distant and far away somewhere else. Or you may have heard about the number you can call a caller, that dial a prayer for atheists. You dial it and the phone just rings and rings and rings. Going with the proverb, think of a candle within us, a spark, a seed of God, our individual God print, what the Quakers call the inner light. Then prayer becomes awakening the stirrings of God that are already in our hearts. Not contacting God far away, that's mystery multiplied by mystery, but God near at hand, as the hymn has it, nearer my God to thee. It's a matter of just paying attention to your life. Everyone who searches finds. And what you find may be very different from what you saw. Moses, if you remember, was tending his father-in-law's sheep, and he just happened to notice beside the road a bush that was burning and was not consumed, and he received his calling. And as you read the story, he had a number of regrets about that in the years to come. The poet said it this way, some people see burning bushes, others just go on picking blackberries. And this from Charles Williams. The altar must be built in one place for the fire of heaven to descend in another. I knew of a professor of New Testament who had a beautiful Persian cat. He got it at a rescue clinic of some kind. He named his cat Apicaridoxia. Now, only a New Testament professor would name a cat that. He named the cat because it was so attentive and alert and ready to spring, even when it was quiet and still. Apicaridoxia is a Greek word. It is found in St. Paul's letter to the Romans. The whole creation waits with eager longing, apicaridoxia, for the revealing of the children of God. Prayer is like that. Relaxing, paying attention, quieting your soul, being alert. Prayer is to our spiritual insight, I think a little bit like what punctuation is to prose writing. Imagine, and maybe you can, some of you people who are good at technology can do this with a word processor, but imagine that all the punctuation, you could remove all the punctuation from a page of prose. The page will become jumbling and confusing. Without the punctuation of prayer, life becomes just a jumble of happenings with little direction, little delight, help, or a goal. We can punctuate our day with someone called an arrow prayers. Remember the person who is in that ambulance going by with the sirens. Remember the medical people who will attend to him or to her. Thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for the seeds that are now beginning to germinate. Prepare me for the conversation I'm going to have with this difficult person. Memorize some short prayers. Make them a kind of pantry of your soul. Lord Jesus, you are the light of the world. Fill my mind with your peace. Fill my heart with your love. Come, Creator Spirit. Lord, make me master of myself. And when your own prayer well is empty or low, go to someone whose well is not empty. They will probably tell you that sometimes their well is empty or low. Someone who will listen, someone who will not judge, someone who will keep confidence, who will walk with you. I want to conclude a sermon about prayer with a prayer. This is a very meaningful prayer for me, and you've probably heard it before. I call it a spherical prayer, and it's so easy. You don't already have to memorize it, but it kind of can help you shape your day. It's from the 5th century. It's attributed to St. Patrick of Ireland. You will understand why it's called a spherical prayer as I pray the prayer, and I invite you to pray now with me. Christ above me, Christ beneath me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ around me, Christ within me, in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me, Christ in every neighbor, Christ in every stranger, Christ in beauty, Christ wherever there is need. Amen.